Federal Parliament is back today for the final sitting fortnight before the May budget. In a bid to clear the decks before budget night, the government will try to legislate its business tax cuts and its omnibus savings bill. But its immediate priority is taking the fight up to Labor over penalty rates. Before 8, we heard from the ACTU president, Jed Carney, who defended those comments by her union colleague, Sally McManus, that the law should be broken if the law is unjust.
But I think what Sally said is refreshingly honest and very open and is actually a universal belief. Now, I just heard the Prime Minister say that his values are not the same. Well, does he not value the fact that women can now vote, that women can now drink in bars, that married women can join the public service? Because all of those things were only came about because people broke the laws.
ACTU President Jed Carney, who's today leading a delegation of workers to Parliament House to lobby against the cut to penalty rates. Matthias Cormann is the Finance Minister and Government Deputy Leader in the Senate. He joins us in our Parliament House studios. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning. Good to be back.
So hearing Jed Carney there, she says it was refreshing to hear Sally McManus speak out on the need to change unjust laws. And she said she was just being open and honest about a universal truth that bad laws need to be challenged, even if it means breaking those laws. And that's happened through time immemorial. Have you blown Sally McManus' comments out of proportion?
Not at all. I mean, her comments were reckless and irresponsible. I mean, she's in a national leadership position and she's given a public endorsement to people breaking the law. Obviously, in the position that she's in, entirely appropriate for her to advocate for changes to the law wherever she thinks that's appropriate, as all of us do. And there's a democratic process to help bring that about. But for somebody in a national leadership position to give public endorsement to breaking the law is just completely reckless and irresponsible, and
but
she shouldn't be
union
apologising
leaders,
for it.
I mean, Jed Carney went on to talk about the general strike in the 70s, which helped deliver Medicare, or she said nurses taking unprotected illegal industrial action to get nurse-patient ratios improved. Wouldn't union leaders be backing these kind of strikes, which are illegal or were illegal?
Well, I mean, firstly, you've got to remember the context in which the new head of the ACTU was making those comments, and it was specifically in the context of the lawless behaviour of the CFMEU that we've witnessed, for years now. CFMEU thugs, creating mayhem on building sites around Australia, pushing up the cost of construction, and of course, hurting our economy and jobs.
And so, she was talking about workers going on strike to protest about workers' safety after someone's killed on a work site.
She was saying black and white that it was okay for people to break the law, which is completely inappropriate, completely unacceptable, and something that a national leader of her in her position should reflect on and apologise for.
Let's move on. There are many issues to deal with. The government is criticising unions this week as the unions come to town with their penalty rate campaign. The government's striking back, criticising unions for negotiating wages lower than the award for some fast food chains. Isn't that the point about enterprise bargaining, Minister, that it allows trade-offs for things like penalty rates for other terms and conditions like paid maternity leave or superannuation?
Well, the hypocrisy is just completely breathtaking. I mean,
why?
Bill Shorten himself has been involved in trading away conditions, in particular in terms of penalty rates. Well, the evidence is that Bill Shorten has traded away workers' conditions, not to benefit workers, but to benefit unions, to organise payments, secret payments to unions. And that is just completely inappropriate. I mean, Bill Shorten was involved in helping set up the Fair Work Commission as an independent body. He said he would respect their decisions, and now, of course, he isn't. And at the same time, he's ignoring the fact that unions have traded away conditions to the to the point where workers on Sundays under these union deals are getting up to $10 an hour less on a Sunday than they otherwise would. So,
the part of that is what they traded off for that. Isn't this disingenuous on the government's part to say that's what enterprise bargaining, which the government supports, is all about, isn't it?
Well, so trading away conditions for workers and getting additional payments, secret payments for unions. I mean, are you suggesting
No, of course not.
But that is the point, right? So here you've got a Fair Work Commission, which is headed by a former ACTU official, which was handpicked by the Labor Party, with the Labor Party jumping up and down before the last election saying, we must respect the independence of the Fair Work Commission, with Bill Shorten saying that he would respect any decision at the Fair Work Work Commission would make. Well, they've made a decision. And now, of course, because they didn't act as an extension of the union movement, because they didn't act as an extension of the Labour opposition, that is the only reason he's now attacking and undermining them, completely ignoring all of the dodgy deals that have been done by the unions along the way.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 12 past 8. Our guest is the Federal Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann. On another issue, Peter Dutton had a blunt message to CEOs who've spoken out on marriage equality, signed that letter to the Prime Minister, basically stick to your knitting. What's your view? Do you think our CEOs have the right to voice their opinion on social issues?
I was asked that same question on Radio National 4 days ago about Patricia Cavellas. I'm happy to answer it again in the same way.
Well, I mean, Peter Dutton's since had more to say on it, and so have the CEOs.
Well, obviously, our focus this week, and I'm sure the focus of business leaders across Australia this fortnight, is on legislating a more competitive business tax rate to boost investment, boost productivity, boost growth, and over time increase real wages. Now, I mean, that is the government's focus this week, and I'm sure that that's what business is focused on across Australia this week as well.
So what are you saying? Peter Dutton should stick to his knitting?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, Peter Dutton is entitled to his views. I've said before that so are obviously business leaders around Australia, but from where I sit this week, from where the government sits this week, the most important public policy issue this fortnight when it comes to the economy, when it comes to business being able to be as successful as possible so they can employ more Australians and pay them better wages over time, is to ensure that we can legislate the business tax cuts that we took to the last election.
And how are you going on that front? This is you've got this last 2 weeks in the Parliament for the budget to achieve it. No sign from the crossbench. Labor's not going to support it. The crossbench, from what I've heard, don't seem to be big fans of it. So are you getting ready to ditch the cut for big business and just go with a reduction for companies of turnovers of less than 10 million?
We are committed to the measure that we put to the Australian people at the last election. It's a very important growth measure. It's a very important measure to help ensure that businesses across Australia can hire more Australians and pay them better wages over time. We are committed to the measure in its entirety. Now, having said that, of course, we're pragmatic. We understand that we haven't got a majority in the Senate, and our focus is on getting as much of our agenda through as possible, and that's what we'll work on very hard over this fortnight.
This morning, Labor's released an analysis by the Parliamentary Budget Office that suggests that you'll have to borrow the $50 billion to give the tax cut to big business, meaning an interest rate bill of $4 billion up to 2026-27, which comes to $162 for every single Australian man, woman and child. Mm-hmm. Labor says, why would you do that? Why would you just ditch the $50 billion borrowing and then you'd have money enough to pay for the childcare reforms you want?
I saw that release. It was embarrassingly inaccurate. First point to make is that Labor, in the lead up to the last election, spent all of the money that they thought said they would raise by keeping the company tax rate higher. So they spent all of that money and more. So that's point number one. Point number two is that if you look at our budget papers, it actually shows that from 2021 onwards, all the way to 2026-27, we are projected to be in surplus, and that is after we have taken into account the cost of the business tax cuts that we've legislated. So, I mean, that is an entirely inaccurate statement that Labor's made today, and it's just quite embarrassing.
Just one final question. Housing affordability, we know, will be pretty much the centrepiece of the federal budget, and there's a lot of ideas floating around, including this notion of allowing young home buyers to dip into their superannuation to help finance their house purchases. Paul Keating has said today in the Fairfax Press, this is a scandalous idea. It would pull the backside out of super. Will you rule it out? Is he right?
Well, look, our budget is on the second Tuesday in May. My position in relation to the particular proposition that you're putting to me there has been on the record for a very long time. My position in relation to these matters hasn't changed. I mean, I note that there's always a lot of inaccurate speculation to lead up to any budget. Let's just wait for the
what
budget
is your
on the second Tuesday.
On that?
Well, let's just wait for the budget on the second Tuesday in May. I mean, my position is that obviously, if you're concerned about housing affordability, which is caused by demand exceeding supply. You don't want to pursue measures that boost demand. You want to pursue measures that boost supply, and if anything, help to moderate demand. And that is obviously not something that is on the table with this particular proposition.
Minister, thank you very much.
Always good to talk to you.
Matthias Cormann is the Finance Minister and the Deputy Government Leader in the Senate. It's 8:16 on Breakfast.